This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. At a campaign stop in New Hampshire today, trying to drum up support for the Harris-Walz campaign, President Biden used a phrase more commonly associated with former President Trump.
I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like if I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We gotta lock him up. Politically lock him up. Lock him out. That's what we have to do.
Mr. Trump is rallying supporters in North Carolina tonight, and according to a Trump campaign document reviewed by ABC News, Aileen Cannon is being considered for attorney general in a possible future Trump administration. She's the federal judge who dismissed the Trump classified documents case on the first day of the Republican National Convention this summer. And an E. coli outbreak has killed one person and sickened nearly 50 people who ate McDonald's Quarter Pounder hamburgers in recent weeks. This is ABC News. Two Phoenix police officers who were involved in the violent arrest of a deaf man who has cerebral palsy are now on paid administrative leave.
Police officers Ben Harris and Kyle Sue were now off the street 63 days after they were seen on body cameras punching and tasering Tyrone McAlpin with little warning after jumping out of a vehicle. Police tried to stop him in a convenience store parking lot right before the violent arrest.
Hand behind your back!
McAlpin is deaf. His attorney says he could not hear their commands. The original report was for a white man creating that disturbance. McAlpin is black. Prosecutors have decided to drop charges against McAlpin. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And the NBA season opens tonight. The champion Boston Celtics begin their title defense against the New York Knicks. And then LeBron James and Bronny James could be the first father-son duo to play in the same NBA game when the Lakers host the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
All Wisconsinites want our lawmakers to fight for a better future. But some elected officials are working to strip away our rights, like the right to make our own healthcare decisions or send our kids to well-funded schools. Wisconsin voters will be asked to change the state constitution on their November ballot. This anti-voter constitutional amendment could disenfranchise or create barriers for eligible voters. We're not going back. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is urging voters to vote no on the November 5th constitutional amendment.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Barack Obama was in Wisconsin Tuesday. He was at a rally at Madison's Alliant Energy Center with Governor Tim Walz. The goal was to rally voters on the first day of early voting.
It is not just policies that are on the ballot. It is who we are and what we stand for.
There were so many people who attended that rally at the Alliant Energy Center that there were major traffic backups, even causing some school buses to be delayed. We have new data on gun violence here in Wisconsin. Here's Terry Bell.
A new study finds 830 people in Wisconsin were killed by guns in 2022. That includes homicides and suicides. That's more people than died in car crashes. The numbers come from the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort Education Fund. More than three-fourths of people shot to death in Wisconsin were black.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Packers review Sunday's game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers reviewed the game tape of Sunday's win over the Texans. Head coach Matt LaFleur says they should have scored more earlier than depend on a last-second field goal.
It was unfortunate that we had to be in that situation. Yeah, I think a lot of times when
you're just Rolodexing all the mistakes that you made or mis-ops to kind of put yourself in that position.
The Packers head to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. The NBA season gets underway tonight in Boston. The defending champion Celtics host the Knicks. The Bucks are headed to Philly to play the 76ers tomorrow night. What's the vibe like in the Bucks locker room? Bobby Portis.
I've been talking about the vibe of our team. We have a hell of a vibe in our locker room, and it's fun to come. Hate to say work, but it is work, right? We get paid to do this, so it's been fun to come to work every day and compete with the guys, man. It's fun.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A shower or two this evening, mostly cloudy otherwise tonight, low mid-40s. Sunshine and much cooler tomorrow, high in the upper 50s. More showers possible Thursday, high mid-60s. Sunshine returns back for Friday and Saturday, high low 60s. Currently, it's 66.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be here to talk early voting, our number two public service announcement, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. Our question tonight is, what is a movie you meant to see that got away? You just never got around to seeing it. It could be something from your childhood, something from the last couple of years. Mine was The Shape of Water, which I saw recently, and I'm not sorry I missed it back in the day. Nomadland. I've never seen Nomadland. So let us know what yours is. 855-752-4842. You can call or text. We did get Nancy from the 715 just texted Ross. Was that a reference to your Perot bumper sticker on the car you couldn't sell? Or is that something just a random Ross? Okay. Well, I wanted to acknowledge you, Nancy. I don't know if there's more to that, but thank you for texting. We should ask that question to Chris Foran, our guest right now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, joining us from Milwaukee, one of the far south suburbs of Green Bay, is Chris Foran. Chris, maybe the other way around, right?
I have so many that I missed. Yeah. The one, and I've been trying to pick off, like, you know, the movies that people, I ask people now, you know, what are the movies I should see just to see what I'm missing? And one of the many that I'm embarrassed that I haven't seen is Groundhog Day.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. I usually get to blame it on any movie that came out within 6 months of when either of my kids were born.
Oh,
I
kind of missed.
And I don't watch things on, I don't watch movies on basic cable because the commercials are too long, or actually the commercials aren't the problem. It's the bleeping and the editing that's the problem.
Right. I'm excited.
It is on my list. I do need to watch it.
Yeah.
Like I finally watched like the first Twister movie. I watched that this summer before the second one came out, and I was an idiot. I don't know why I slept on it. It was a really good movie. So, you know,
I'm kind of excited for you because I wish I hadn't seen Groundhog Day yet because I like it so much and then I can enjoy it for the first time all over again.
Well, and the problem is, and the other problem is that you so much of it spoiled for me now. I mean, I know, you know, I know what happens. Of course I do, you know, so.
You'll still love it.
It's hard to get, I work to get to that frame of mind, but it's, you know, there are many movies to watch and more than enough for all of us.
Exactly. And like you, I've got tons too that those are just the first ones that come to mind, but Bill Murray is so nuanced. Like, you're just going to love watching his performance, even though some of it will be spoiled. I think you'll dig it. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about Penguin. You said you've been watching Penguin on Max. I've only seen an episode and a half so far. I liked it, but I was watching another show. What are your thoughts on the show?
Well, I got a couple thoughts. It's extraordinarily well done.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I assume that there's another season of this, so I assume something else will happen. But it's first, it takes you a while to get over the fact that usually it's easy to forget that you're watching Colin Farrell, because he doesn't look, now he does not look anything like him. He doesn't move like him. He doesn't sound like him.
It's crazy.
As the Penguin, he's no Burgess Meredith, of course, but you know, right. Still, right. Who is? I'm a big fan of the second Batman movie with Danny DeVito as the Penguin. I think that's a great character, the way he develops it. But I have a chronic blind spot in recent sitcom TV. Is I love the series How I Met Your Mother, and Kristen Milioti plays the mother in that show, and she's the daughter of the crime boss who ends up going up against the Penguin in this series.
Oh.
She is like the sweetest person on earth in How I Met Your Mother. In this one, she is not somebody you mess with.
Interesting.
And she's very good. But more importantly, she's very good and she's very believable. And there's some good supporting characters and all this stuff, all people you've seen before. And I honestly don't know where it's going. I mean, I have a vague idea. Yeah. But it is very well done. It is the same universe as the Batman movie with Robert Pattinson.
Right.
Similar, dark, and you know.
It's supposed to be setting up the next film, I believe, right? The Penguin?
I believe so. I honestly have no idea what's going on with that Pattinson movie. I know they're making it. I just don't know where it's at because he has been doing other stuff.
You made Conrad very happy. He grinned ear to ear when you said How I Met Your Mother, because that's like his favorite show ever. And that's one that got away. I got to check that show out. So I still haven't
seen it. It's interesting. Well, it's a good sitcom because the characters are, they gel very well together.
Yeah.
A lot of people hated the ending of the show. And I think the reason they hated the ending of the show was because Kristen Milioti is so charming. she's been on Broadway. She's good in a lot of things. There's a time loop comedy with Andy Samberg that she's in called, I think it's called Palm Springs. That's also really good. She's very good in that.
Oh, I remember. That's impressive. When you go from Broadway to a sitcom to a show like The Penguin, and how about that? Like, I don't know how long Colin Farrell has to sit there and get makeup, but that in the first episode where he takes his shoe off and there's that foot, mm-hmm. I almost stopped watching it. Like, it's that gritty. The whole show is gritty, though. It's kind of emblematic of the whole show.
Well, it's, I mean, if you've seen the Batman movie, the big chunk of Gotham has been wiped out by a series of bombs set up by the Riddler that laid waste to whole neighborhoods of the city, and there's a kind of rebuilding, and it is not your Adam West's Gotham.
Right. I have to go back. I have to watch that again because I was sort of biased. I loved the Christopher Nolan Batmans. The first two, phenomenal. Love the first one. Really liked the second one with Heath Ledger. Liked the third one. But I kind of went into this one, this Batman, Robert Pattinson's, with a bias. So yeah. I do want to go back and revisit it because my son loves it. He keeps telling me it's worth a rewatch, you know, but I don't know.
Do you have a favorite Batman?
I like the first one just because I like how the story about how he becomes Batman. I tend to always like the first one better than the sequel, even though sometimes the sequels are better executed, maybe, or better movies. But like with Toy Story, I just love the world and that introduction to the world. You can't beat that. Right. I don't think, you know,
because you're not, because you weren't expecting it. And
right.
Then it becomes part of the template of it.
Exactly.
I had a conversation with somebody the other day about favorite Batman versus favorite Bruce Wayne.
Oh, that's interesting. Who's the favorite Bruce Wayne?
I think the Michael Keaton Batman is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's hard to fight that. On the other hand, I think a lot of people have faults with his Batman, and I do too, but I think Ben Affleck's a pretty good Bruce Wayne.
Oh, interesting.
Because he plays that character better because he's playing a middle-aged Batman. You know, he's not playing the young Batman.
That's kind of how he is anyway. I would agree with you there as far as the Bruce Wayne part goes. I might agree with you on Ben Affleck because he seems kind of debonair and all that stuff. So you also, Chris, we're watching Matlock, the new Matlock with Kathy Bates. How is that? I haven't seen that yet.
It's not a remake. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
It's good. It's intended to be. She's this older folksy lawyer who's trying to work her way into this law, high-powered law firm, and she proves her mettle by combinations of being a grandma and being really smart and savvy. And the pilot has a big twist at the end that you literally would not be able to see coming because it isn't set up at all. But it gives the series an intent, you know, an arc that could be interesting, could be very dark, actually. But she's, it was interesting to see how she really created that a character. It isn't the Andy Griffith character at all,
right?
But it is still very much a procedural criminal, you know, courtroom thing. I know you like those shows, that kind of thing. I need to check out more of the episodes. I think I've only seen one or two, but
she's so great. I'm not surprised it's good.
Right. Yeah. It's no surprise.
When do you have a favorite scary movie? Yeah. Actually, I want to ask you a question. I know we said, in our email exchange earlier, I kind of told you, I went back to some network shows.
Yeah.
And, some like Chicago PD I watch. I've just sort of followed that over the years. It's okay. SVU, I like Olivia Benson, but I don't know how long you can keep. I feel like I've seen every storyline. The show's been on for 25 years, and I get that she's compassionate but also tough. Chicago PD, they're in the thing now where once every week one of their own lives is in danger. It's not even about the case. And this show Tracker, and FBI, Dylan McDermott, I'm convinced he's writing his own dialogue. It is so cheesy. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I can go back to network shows. The streamers are just so much better. Are there any network shows you still watch?
Well, Matlock's a pretty good show. It's got potential. There's some good people in it. I haven't watched, I can't remember what it's called now. High functioning, or what is it? High potential. This cleaning woman, it turns out it's got a high IQ of 160, but has ADHD and other things. Walks into a police station and solves a crime, basically, and they kind of draft her to help out. And there's some good people in it, Ana Reyes from Scrubs and a couple other people.
Huh.
There's some predictable thing where she gets thrown together with a by-the-book detective who thinks she's ridiculous, and of course they're going to be involved, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's part of what broadcast television is about, that rhythm of familiarity. I mean, you literally can set your watch by Law and Order, you know.
Right.
They switch to the courtroom, it's the tap-ass show.
And you literally can do that. Literally. Yes, you're right.
And but that's, you know, but that's part of the charm of it. One of the reasons that I fell for How I Met Your Mother is that the rhythm of that kind of traditional sitcom is just so comforting.
And, yeah, that's interesting.
There's a reason why older audiences are drawn toward procedurals, because they do have that rhythm and they have closure. You get it solved most of the time.
Right.
The world doesn't work that way, though. So.
Well said. Before we let you go, just favorite all-time classic scary movie. We're winding down here. We're getting close to Halloween. We've been kind of talking about scary movies all month. Do you have a favorite classic?
Boy, I love those early Universal horror films so much. I rewatched Dracula recently, and with Bela Lugosi, and just still holds up.
Nice.
Frankenstein's really good. The first time I was really scared in the theater was when I saw Jaws for the first time. I don't think of that as a horror movie, but
it kind of is. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
But we're talking about X and Maxine. I think there's some good reason. Obviously, Get Out is.
Oh, Get Out too. Yeah,
that'll end up becoming part of canon. It isn't scarier the same way, but his follow-up movie to that, Nope, is also an incredible piece of social commentary, as well as being scary because it could happen. You know, but I tend to go to the old school stuff, Night of the Living Dead.
Nice.
I'm a huge fan of almost every version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Same. Great. I love
the 50s one is great, even with the fake tacked on ending.
Yeah.
The one with Donald Sutherland, that is another time when I was scared to death in a theater.
Let's do a deep dive into that one next time you're here, because we got to run. But Chris, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate your time. Always so much fun talking to you, buddy.
Always a pleasure to be here.
All right. Have a great Halloween. Thanks so much, Chris.
You too.
That's Chris Foran. Check out his work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He does great stuff there. This is Peach Wabba Nightlight. We'll be right back with more.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Water. When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
Well, that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
All right. That was fun. You know, Chris reminded me that X is a horror film. I just saw that recently. Terry Bell, news director here at Civic Media, told me about X. And Chris described it perfectly. It's a group of young people go to a farm and rent the farm from an elderly couple to make an adult film. There's a group of like five people and they start getting picked off. So you got the old people who you suspect in the farmhouse. Meanwhile, there's a pier and there's times when they go down swimming and there's an alligator. I think it's in the south. And there's an alligator in the water that eats people. Like everywhere you go, it's just horror. And then the adult film part of it is kind of skanky too, because it's like this low budget producer trying to make this film. And the hero of X is in all three of is in the trilogy. She's in Pearl and Maxine as well. I have not seen Pearl yet. Have you seen X, Conrad?
I haven't seen any of them.
I recommend it. Terry Bell told me about it about a year ago, maybe not quite a year ago. And I just finally I watched that one and I watched Maxine in the theaters, and Maxine was good too. But I'll have to check out Pearl. But those are recommendations for Halloween 2 as it gets closer, because I kind of forgot about that. That's actually a horror film that doesn't have like a stupid plot. And when it goes gory, it gets gory. And it's not gore all the way through. It picks and chooses, but there are a couple moments where there's so much, the scene is so gory, you're just like, it's a little bit stomach turning. But good movie. I may have to give that a rewatch before Halloween. Or check out Pearl, which I haven't seen. I didn't know. I think Chris said it was a prequel to X, which I didn't know either. So I'll have to check that out. So, all right, going to the text line. Our question, folks, tonight is, what is a movie that got away from you? What's a film you've always wanted to see but have just never gotten around to seeing it? It could be something that was in theaters last summer, something from 30 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. Just a movie you always wanted to see but never saw. That's tonight's question, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There you go. I always get confused on that number. It's part of my old number. I can't. I'm still struggling with our calling. And you can call, too. We've got multiple phone lines, ladies and gentlemen. We've got so many phone lines. Conrad usually just sits on the party line. You probably don't even remember the party line. They had these lame. Oh, God, they would advertise late at night. if you want to talk to other, if you want to talk to sexy women, call the party line. And we used to call it as a joke. It was like a 1-800 and you just wait for women to get on the line. You'd start talking to strangers. It was like a chat room, but on the phone. Oh, they were so bad. Anyway, we've got multiple phone lines. You're welcome to call or text. Let us know what that movie is that got away from you. That's tonight's question. Sherry checks in and says, good evening, Pete and Conrad and friends. Good evening, Sherry. Great to have you with us. Ross in Crawford County says, hi, Pete. I've never seen Braveheart. I don't know why. Did it just look kind of like bad history? But I think I need to watch it because I was recently in Scotland and I think it's about these crazy Scottish tribes. So that's on my list. Yeah, there's a... I don't remember much, Ross, honestly, about Braveheart. I did see it, and I remember the ending was Mel Gibson just yelling freedom with his face painted in this kind of like big dramatic scene. But I remember liking it, maybe not loving it, but it was a good kind of along the Gladiator lines or, you know, along those lines. Amanda says, ugh, I can never watch Braveheart again. Every time we lost cable as a kid, which was constant, we watched Braveheart because apparently it's the only video we ever had. Oh, that's very funny. She says, I've seen it so many times, never again. How could you grow up in a house with one video? That's hilarious, Amanda. And child abuse, sort of. So not too late to share your movie that got away. Let us know, 855-752-4842. Or you could text us on the app. That is so simple, folks. Get the app if you don't have it, because it's the best way to take Civic Media with you wherever you go. You got Maggie Dawn, Todd Alba, Dom, Matt and Aaron, Greg. They're all the shows are on there. Earl, it's so easy, and you can text any of the shows when they're on. We're on the network, or on statewide, so all you have to do is any station. And those of you just joining us after the special political episode here at Civic Media, welcome. It's great to have you. Amanda says, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you, Pete. Oh, man, that's hilarious. Okay, kids, come on. We're watching Braveheart again. Here's the scene where Mel Gibson's castrated. Perfect family fun entertainment. Sherry says, we had a party line growing up. It was awful. We always listened in while we waited. Yeah, they were so cheesy. And I had two friends that would go on the party line, Mike Toomey and another guy who I can't remember his name, but Mike has been on the show. They used to listen to the other guys. Like a guy would pop onto the line and say, any ladies on the line? Any ladies on the line? Just hoping there were women to talk to. So Mike stole his bit and would start saying the same thing and say, any ladies on the line? The guy would get really mad at him and start yelling at him because that was his opening line. Oh, I missed the party line. Okay, so Badgers, this is interesting. I'm a huge Badger fan. They kind of became my team in the early 90s. I just looked at the schedule. They play Penn State Saturday, and then they have Oregon in two weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Number 3 and number 1 are both coming to Madison.
Yep.
They're home games. And my question to you, Conrad, a fan of sports games.
I would say, yeah.
Let's say, hypothetically, those teams are still, Penn State will still be number 3, but let's say Oregon is number 1 when they come here. I don't know what their schedule is like between now and when they visit Camp Randall, but let's just say the Badgers win both of those games. They beat 1 and 3, and they're a 2-loss team, and they run the table on the rest of the season. Can they qualify for the playoff?
Ugh, that's tough. I mean, they're not even ranked right now. And we just had 2 blowout wins. And, you know, I don't think we still have a chance. But beating Penn State and Oregon is one of the toughest things we could ever. It's tough enough having those, you know, Oregon and USC being in the Big Ten. Now that the Big Ten's so competitive, it's going to be tough.
The Big 32.
Yeah.
They might need some help, but I don't think you can ignore a team that gets hot at the right part. I know they have 2 losses. One is to Alabama. Who did they lose to? Who was the other loss? Was it?
USC.
Okay. That's nothing to be ashamed of. Early in the year, you're still finding your stride.
I mean, it was kind of close against UFC too as well, but
and they held on a little bit during Atlanta. Yeah. Tumalusi got injured. Is that the game he got injured in?
No, after the game, he decided it was a lingering injury. He said,
Oh, this is a game he fumbled in, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we've got Magic coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. At a campaign stop in New Hampshire today, trying to drum up support for the Harris-Walz campaign, President Biden used a phrase more commonly associated with former President Trump.
I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like if I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We gotta lock him up. Political lock him up. Lock him out. That's what we have to do.
Mr. Trump is rallying supporters in North Carolina tonight, and according to a Trump campaign document reviewed by ABC News, Aileen Cannon is being considered for attorney general in a possible future Trump administration. She's the federal judge who dismissed the Trump classified documents case on the first day of the Republican National Convention this summer. And an E. coli outbreak has killed one person and sickened nearly 50 people who ate McDonald's Quarter Pounder hamburgers in recent weeks. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Early voting is now open across Wisconsin. Each municipality sets its own early voting locations and hours. When you show up to vote early, it should work very similarly to Election Day. You show some ID, poll workers will help you identify a precinct and give you your absentee ballot. That ballot will be sealed, you'll sign the envelope, and it'll go back to your local clerk's office where it'll be locked away until Election Day. To find your local early voting information, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. Early voting was the focus of a big rally supporting the Harris-Walz ticket in Madison Tuesday. Governor Tim Walz.
This election is 2 weeks from today, and early voting has started here in Wisconsin. Our team is running like everything is on the line, because everything is on the line.
Former President Barack Obama also spoke. That's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A shower or two this evening, mostly cloudy otherwise tonight, low mid-40s. Sunshine and much cooler tomorrow, high in the upper 50s. More showers possible Thursday, high mid-60s. Sunshine returns back for Friday and Saturday, high low 60s. Currently at 62 degrees.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How do you wash the bad taste out of your mouth called Joker Folie au Doux? You release a new single. That is if you're Lady Gaga. Gaga says, according to Variety, that she will release the song Disease on October 25th. It will be her first single off her seventh studio album. Gaga surprised fans by releasing an album called Harlequin last month on the heels of the release of the Joker sequel, which was panned by critics. Onward and upward. Rick and Morty fans will rejoice when they hear that the show has been renewed for seasons 11 and 12, which is crazy because season 8 hasn't even dropped yet. The word comes from New York Comic-Con by the show's executive producers Dan Harmon and Scott Martyr. Harmon was born and raised in Milwaukee. Season 8 doesn't actually premiere until 2025, which means the show will be on at least through 2029. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X, and I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project stop by. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2.
Tonight's guest is one of the hottest young wand swingers out there. Equally comfortable with mentalism and grand illusion. Please welcome Jason Hudi.
He has performed over 8,000 shows in the past 20 years, performing for ESPN, Chevrolet, Hershey, and many more.
His show has been seen by over 1 million people in 14 countries around the world.
Jason is a regular guest entertainer on Disney Cruise Lines, the gold standard in live entertainment.
Jason's performance on The Late Late Show on national CBS TV was hailed as sensational.
Jason was one of a select group of magicians invited to perform at the House of Magic at Studio City Casino in Macau, near Hong Kong.
Jason starred in The Magic of Saipan, which ran for 2 years and 950 shows on the tropical island of Saipan.
Jason was chosen to be a part of Magic Immersive, the world's first 360-degree magic show.
Jason's TED Talk gives audiences a peek behind the curtain into the world of illusion.
And now, it's your turn to experience the magic.
That is a lot of buildup. I hope we can follow that. That was the intro for our next guest, Jason Hudi, a magician who joins us now on the stream. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
I couldn't have done that better. Like that's a lot of pomp and circumstance, and I would have just crushed. I would have horribly done that. So that was a great intro. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Sure thing.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. I'm excited to be on with you.
Well, it's great to have you. Let's jump right in. You've got a big show coming up here in Wisconsin, in Chippewa. Where are you based out of, by the way?
I'm actually based in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. So we have a residency show here in the town, and then we take off to do road shows like we'll be doing out in Chippewa Falls here in a couple weeks.
Chippewa Falls. That's exciting for the people of Chippewa Falls, and I'm sure you probably... 8,000 shows. There's nothing you probably haven't seen from an audience. Tell us about Chippewa Falls and what people can expect to see when you're there.
Absolutely. We were actually out there last year as well. So it's always great when someone wants to invite us back because they got a lot of positive feedback about the show. It's super family friendly. It's going to be about 90 minutes of real super fun magic. We'll have kids up on stage to make the magic happen. And I'll be bringing some of the best magic that I've learned in the last 25 years traveling around the world doing all this.
How did you get started?
I was 12 years old, and my mom took me to a library to see a magician for summer reading program. And afterwards, the magician said if we wanted to, we could check out a library book to learn some magic. And my parents thought it'd be a two-week hobby. And now here we are, 8,000 shows later, still going.
Good Lord. Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. Good for you. Do you have a type of magic, or do you brand your magic somehow?
I more focus on the stage type of things. Like I always love watching magicians who can perform the close-up magic. It's just something that never really appealed to me to perform. I love watching it, but in terms of performing, it's always been, I grew up with, watching David Copperfield on TV and everything. So it was always the big illusions that appealed to me. And that's the type of show that we have here in Pigeon Forge. And it's the show that we take on the road with us to really try to bring a little bit of Las Vegas feel to communities that usually don't get a show like that.
That's so great. So you do these big illusions, maybe not like Copperfield making a jet disappear or whatever, but is there a lot of setup? Do you have to bring vans and vans of stuff, or how does that work?
So we travel with a 20-foot trailer. So it's not giant, but it's still pretty big. But yes, the shows that we normally do, we have about an 8-hour setup to do the 90-minute show. So the actual performance of the show is the tiny amount. We'll for example, for it to come to Chippewa Falls, it'll be about a 10-hour drive for me to get there. It's an afternoon show, so we won't have the full 8 hours, but we'll have about 4 hours to set up, and then we'll do about a 90-minute show, and then an hour breakdown, and then a 10-hour drive back to Tennessee. So, yeah, the actual performance of the show is just this much of what actually goes into it.
So, okay, so you said you got started because you saw Magic at the Library. Who are your influences? Would you call Copperfield an influence, or do you have other people who have influenced you, like Doug Henning?
All
or
the big magicians, Penn and Teller, you know, Chris Angel, yeah. David Blaine, everyone that normal people would know have been influenced on me. But for me, more so, it's magicians that don't have the name recognition that I grew up in the area with me that are really just kind of doing this to support themselves and support their family. And they're not a household name, but it's surprising. There's a ton of magicians out there that actually make a living performing magic that the regular public will never hear about.
So do you do comedy in your act? I used to be a stand-up comic. I toured all over, and I used to work.
Oh, really?
I worked with the amazing Jonathan a couple times. He was hilarious. Yeah. And do you incorporate comedy at all into your act?
Or you have to, especially when you're doing 90 minutes. You know, some magicians will focus really heavily on the mysterious side of it. That's never been what I've been about. It's all about the entertainment factor. Okay. So the magic itself is more of a means for the entertainment as opposed to being the end goal. We want to, you know, amaze people. We want to fool people, but it's no good if it's just kind of, you know, boring. A card trick after card trick after card trick doesn't do any right. good. So it's a lot of peaks and valleys in the show. You know, we'll do musical magic, and then we'll do talking pieces. Then I'll bring people up on stage. Trying to keep a variety and keep it interesting the whole time.
So when you come out, is it just you for 90 minutes? Do you have an opening act, someone in front of you?
So I'll be traveling with my stage tech, who's also a fantastic magician in his own right. So he'll be doing part of the show with me.
He's
a super funny guy, and it's a real yin and yang situation, because I'm kind of more of the more classic magician, and he's more of the stumbling, bumbling, he plays the stumbling, bumbling sidekick character that's always trying to make things work, and they don't quite get there.
Right.
But then at the end, he makes it all work. So it's a super fun relationship in that way.
Speaking of comedy, I'm sure that's where a lot of that comes from during your show, or is what you just described.
Oh, yeah.
Do you cut him in half during the show?
Not in this show. We won't be. Yeah, we're working on that one. I mean, in my career, I've cut ladies in half, floated them in the air, made a tiger appear for a while. We make a motorcycle appear in the show here. So it's been lot of the big stuff. And then it's really interesting, though, to get to go to smaller communities where we can just kind of pare down and just kind of focus on the entertainment of everything.
Yeah. Why? How did that start? Why was it always ladies getting cut in half? It seems like they got kind
you know
of a raw
what?
Deal.
So
there.
A guy named P.T. Selbit created Song of Lady in Half in about 1921, and it just kind of became a sensation, and it's really kind of created this whole cliche of, you know, girls get in the boxes and get sawn in half. It's just kind of a little bit old school thinking in that way.
I've never been able to figure that out, honestly. I'm sure there's some, you could probably read about it or Google it. And part of me doesn't want to know. It's kind of fun to watch magic like that. And
Well, and that's what's so interesting. You know, the TV show Penn and Teller is so good for the magic community.
Yeah.
Because they're honestly getting fooled as well. So, I mean, the biggest names in magic, when they get fooled by magic, it really is something.
Love those guys. So I mentioned I did stand up, and I've seen a lot of magicians work comedy clubs. And I've seen, just like the comics, them get heckled at times, but less than the comics. Like, it seems like if you're good at what you do when it comes to magic, you've got the crowd, because they want to watch what you're doing. They want to be involved and invested. Do you ever get heckled? That's a no.
I've been lucky, I guess. I can't remember the last time that I truly got heckled. I think maybe it's more so also, I can definitely see it happening more in the comedy club setting, which is something I've never really gotten into.
Okay.
My shows have always been more family-based.
Nice.
And so I think that, you know, it's all, kids will say the darndest things, but they're not mean-spirited about it at all. So it's always, working with the kids and everything always makes it interesting. But I don't think I really get heckled. It might be the venue, because comedy clubs can be tough, I bet.
You never have the kid with the slingshot in the third row, that little Bart Simpson showing up.
Right. Yep. And they'll just say, I've seen this trick before. They've never seen it. Like, they just, it's so funny times what they say, or when we get them up on stage, you know, sometimes they steal the show. Sometimes they freeze up. You just never know what direction it's going to
take. There is nothing
makes every show different and unique.
Nothing funnier to me than a jaded kid.
Oh, it's hilarious. Great, right?
I love it.
It's great.
On your website, it says you do classic tricks with modern flair. What would you describe when it comes to magic as modern flair?
I think the use of technology is really, because it's interesting. Magic and technology, they always had this sort of relationship. A guy named, I'll give you a quick minute story here. A guy named Robert Houdin is kind of the father of modern magic. And he actually stopped an uprising in a French colony in Africa where they sent him in as a magician to demonstrate his powers. And so he got the strongest warrior from this rebellious group up in front of everyone else. And he had this little tiny box, and he like said that he was going to hypnotize it. And the warrior couldn't lift the box up. And then he had like a tiny child come up and lift the box off. And all it was electromagnetics, but the people there had never seen. So it was really the use of the technology that looked like, if you don't know what a new technology, I mean, the first time that any of us saw a smartphone, it's like, this is magic, you know?
Yeah, right.
It really is technology and magic kind of blending them together.
That's great. Have you ever been to the Magic Castle in Los Angeles?
Yes, I got to go to the Magic Castle.
That's quite
once,
a place.
Yeah, when I was out there. Have you been there?
I have, yeah. I lived in LA for 14 years, and a guy who I was working on a project with, an editor, his dad was like an old school magician at the Magic Castle, and he had like this standing membership or whatever. So he threw us some tickets once, and we brought the kids with another family. And that is just a great place you can get lost in. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
What's a great venue near to everyone there is the Chicago Magic Lounge in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh.
Many magicians actually think it's better than the Magic Castle these days.
No kidding.
I've gotten to work at six times. It's just a fantastic place to go and see some magic.
Chicago
Magic Lounge.
Magic Lounge. Okay, is it downtown or is it?
Yep, it's downtown, nice. And it's great. It's so cool.
How have I not even heard of that? That's my hometown, and I lived a substantial part of my life there. I've never even heard of that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, Conrad, we're road tripping. all right, so can you do a trick? I know you're on the stream, but for people who are watching on the stream, is there any way you could do a magic trick?
Sure, let me see if this will even show up.
Okay.
I think you can see a couple of rubber bands here.
Okay.
And so I'm going to take the rubber bands and kind of link them. I think you can kind of see that,
yeah,
that they're kind of like linked together right in the center.
Okay.
But it just happens for a second, because then they can magically pass right through. Let me do that one more time.
Please.
Kind of link them right there. You can see how they're linked in the center until you just give them a little shake, and then they melt right through like that.
Wow. So, I mean, my first instinct is always to say, how'd you do that? But you're not going to tell me how you do that.
Sure.
So you must get, what do you do when people say, how did you do that? How'd you do that?
You know, you can't tell. It's always
you just say magic, right?
Yeah, I kind of say magic.
And you're not lying. You're not lying because it's the magic of entertainment. It is magic in a sense. So you're not really lying to kids when you say that, because they're looking at you like you're magical.
Yeah. I mean, it's a question that's often asked, and even after all these years, I still don't have a great answer for how to answer
it. What are your favorite venues other than Chippewa Falls, of course?
Sure. Absolutely. I love I do a lot of the performing arts centers, and it's just a great time to be able to take a magic show into communities like that. The International Brotherhood of Magicians did a study several years ago and then found about 50% of people only see one magic show live in person in their entire lives.
Really?
Which is always mind-blowing to me. So it's amazing, because when we go into communities, for a lot of people, it's their first and maybe only time ever seeing a magic show in that way. And so many people after the show come up and say, yeah, I've always seen it on TV and stuff, but to see it right there in front of your face is different. And it really is. It's a real special and unique art form.
That's so great. Well, the show is November 2nd of next month. Actually, a week and a half away, November 2nd.
Yeah, it's coming up.
2 p.m. at the Civic Arts Center in Chippewa Falls. Am I getting that right?
At the Hyde Center, yes.
Oh, the Hyde Center. Okay. What am I looking at here? Okay, so check that out. Where can people get tickets? Do they just go to the website of the venue? Or
yeah, it's right on the website. Okay. It's a Google Hyde Center for the Performing Arts, and it's in there in Chippewa Falls, and we're right on there.
That's fantastic. Jason, thank you. We have about 30 seconds left. Can you make a movie recommendation? Or what are you? Tell us what you're watching in 30 seconds or less.
Right now, I mean, movie-wise, I think you can't go wrong with Back to the Future. That's my absolute favorite, especially now with the if you get to New York City in the next year or two, they have the Back to the Future musical now, which is so much fun.
Really?
So yeah, it's great. I mean, the original Back to the Future movies are great.
So great.
What I'm watching, my girlfriend and I are watching Community right now.
Oh,
so
nice.
We're catching up on that on Peacock.
Both great recommendations. Outstanding. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, and Knock 'Em Dead on November 2nd.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. That's Jason Hootie. Magician, you can check him out November 2nd in Chippewa Falls. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We'll be back to wrap things up very shortly on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on air.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
All right. So, this is what I'm guessing it was like in the Nimmer family household. Sunday morning, we get the kids up, we go to church, we come home and we make pancakes. And then we put on Braveheart again.
Sounds like a good Sunday.
I can't get that out of my head. That's so funny.
I can't believe only one video was there.
One video? And it's probably one they got from the library and just never returned. tomorrow night on Nightlight, Todd Alba will be here. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show and does amazing work. And I guess he is taking a bus trip across Wisconsin with the Lincoln Project for before the election. I'm excited because Todd is always fun to talk to on the show. But my guess is he needs a break, too, from talking about politics nonstop, especially the way things are right now and how hard he works and how much he puts into his show. We'll talk to Todd a little bit about what he's watching, some sports. Maybe he'll plug his show a little bit. He does such a – and he doesn't just do politics on his show. If you haven't checked out Todd Alba's show here at Civic Media, I highly recommend it. Very entertaining show, and Todd's a good guy. So he'll be here tomorrow night at 6:35. And then in studio, this will be fun. DeAndra Marie will be here. She's a local – when I say local, I mean Northeast Wisconsin musician. She's based out of Appleton, and – We heard a little bit of her the other night when Terry Barr was here for Barr Band Friday night. She brought some of Deandra's music with her, and we really enjoyed it. We said we have to have Deandra on the show, and she will be here tomorrow night at 7:20 in studio playing some music for us live and discussing how she goes about her process and where she finds her inspiration and who her favorite artists are. We'll talk about all of that tomorrow night. That's on Nightlight on a Wednesday edition. So we had did you see Grey's Anatomy? I was talking about this with Chris Voren. SVU has been on, I think, 24 seasons. They've got to be out of storylines. Grey's Anatomy has been on 21 seasons. What are they still talking about on that show?
I'm not going to lie. I've never seen Grey's Anatomy, ever.
My daughter kind of got hooked on it for a while. I've seen a couple episodes, but I mean, it's a medical show.
Yeah.
21 seasons. Another splenectomy. Bring him in. Haven't we already done this episode? I don't know how they do that.
I think it's like everyone has like a love triangle in there, right?
Right.
Every single doctor.
Correct. That's true.
Receptionists, whoever is there.
That's how you keep it going. So I have some fun facts here, and I hold on to these because I find them fascinating, just for when we have like a couple of minutes to kill before the end of the show. But Portland, Oregon was named by a coin flip. The other name option, do you know what it was when they were trying to name the city of Oregon?
I read it. Or Portland? I forgot it. Wasn't it like, what was it?
Boston.
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
I don't know why I second guessed myself.
The two guys who founded the city were from Boston and Portland, Maine. The guy from Maine won the toss and named the city Portland. In effect, rendering his own Portland in Maine completely useless. Because Portland is now Portland. The Harlem Globetrotters were founded in Chicago. Their offices are now in Georgia. They've never been based anywhere in New York, let alone Harlem. I found that. I didn't think that was right. I know Abe Saperstein founded the team, but I thought they were from Harlem. So that kind of
Well, they say that's the birthplace of the sport, really. So
basketball?
Yeah.
In Harlem?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Here's another one for you, Conrad. No only child has ever been elected president of the United States.
Okay.
It's a good thing you have a brother.
I've never heard any of the, you know, the president's brothers or sisters' names.
Well, I remember Jimmy Carter had Billy Carter because there was, this is before your time, but they had something called, he liked to booze it up or liked his beer. They named Billy Beer. They had, that was a product. And then I know Bill Clinton had Roger Clinton, who was like the less successful brother. That's got to be tough. It's like our buddy Dwayne Kennedy, who's been on the show, said, how would you like to be Jesus's brother? Like, you're like Steve Christ. You could even be doing really well. You could even be like the manager of a Harold's Chicken. But nothing you ever do will measure up to Jesus. Oh, that's so funny. Here's one more. The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston, began filming in Egypt. The epic had a cast of 25,000 people.
Well,
that's one that got away. I've never seen The Ten Commandments.
Oh, I forgot to mention a movie I watched yesterday.
Yeah.
It's called The Estate, and it just dropped on Netflix. And I think it might be the worst movie I've seen this year.
Oh, no. like you got to see it bad or just not even?
Let me give you the premise. It's okay. These two daughter or these two sisters and then their mother. They're all kind of they don't have that much money. They have a failing diner. And then they find out that their aunt's dying and she's rich. So they go to her aunt's house and start like being like really nice, but then they have other cousins that do the same thing and they all try to win the money
and they're just horrible people.
Yeah.
It's funny I don't need to like characters. My wife will always say nobody was likable. I don't need people to be likable. I need them to be interesting, though, at least. Like, maybe if they had a good reason for wanting to do that, like, yeah, they needed the money to help kids or whatever it is, you know. That's hilarious.
They just had a family diner.
I'm going to probably go home and watch. I have 2.5 episodes of The Lincoln Lawyer, and I love doing it that way. I love saving not just 2 episodes, but I like having 2.5 hours of color television waiting for me. And I hope I like the way they wrap it up.
I'm going to watch basketball.
Oh, the NBA kicks off today.
Yep. It's already started. Boston.
I can't believe that season is starting already. That has to be the longest season, even longer than baseball, right?
No, come on. I mean, baseball is games every single day.
No, I get that games-wise, but months, we'll figure this out.
We'll figure it out tomorrow. We'll bring it back.
Come back tomorrow night, folks. We got another fun show. Todd Alba and Deandra Marie will be here in studio playing great music. It's another fun episode of Nightlight tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday in our homeroom segment, the campaign is building to have voters say yes to school referendums and no to the legislators who got us in this mess.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
All Wisconsinites want our lawmakers to fight for a better future. But some elected officials are working to strip away our rights, like the right to make our own healthcare decisions or send our kids to well-funded schools. Wisconsin voters will be asked to change the state constitution on their November ballot. This anti-voter constitutional amendment could disenfranchise or create barriers for eligible voters. We're not going back. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is urging voters to vote no on the November 5th constitutional amendment.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.